We've been following all the different NTU disputes, and RMIT is following on from a major walkout at Melbourne University last week. Can you tell me about what's going on here?
So we've been asking for a bargaining enterprise agreement, and as far as I've been told by the union leaders that we've had nothing. No. We've asked for what's been given, basically the same thing that's been given in New South Wales, you know, a fair pay rise, fair work conditions. And fair, you know, I'm a sessional and I don't have permanent employment, and I work as a PhD candidate as well with a lot of other people from in the same situation. So it's all about, it comes down to fairness for, you know, fair pay for a fair job is what it comes down to. And it's the same with what Melbourne have done, it's what Monash have done, it's basically what's fair.
Yeah, and also it's to do with the precarious nature of your work, I presume.
Well, this is the thing. So on the sign, that's the big noise that just came in. There's a lot of students saying, hey, pay my favourite teachers and the influence that they're having. But if you don't have secure employment, then you have no choice but to go to another university. And it seems odd to me to spend money on a student like myself, and then I have to go and get a job somewhere else. And there's you know, a dozen other people I work with in the same situation. So I'll be honest, some of the sessionals live on, you know, $39,000, $40,000 a year. They don't have enough money to live on.
Yeah, and the other issue, of course, is that they refuse to actually negotiate properly, don't they?
That's my understanding of it, is that they just refused outright to come to the bargaining table. And it's the sense of business, as opposed to we're not a business. We are a business, but we're not a business. We're here. But good business is to have your best employees and keep your employees happy. And it's not. And I think it's a situation. I mean, I'm only very new to this, but I've come from a school teaching background, so I'm familiar with what strike action is about. But it's a situation whereby, because there's a limited number of jobs and a lot of academics, they can pull that card. But that's not helping the students, and that's what we're all about, because they're not getting the best people in front of them.
I know that RMIT said you're working to rule, but now you're actually decided that it has to be more, you actually have to take protected action, right?
That's correct. So Melbourne and Monash went out on strike a couple of months ago, and we went out in support with them, and then went to the bargaining table. Nothing was done. Our EBA is still from 2018. And obviously the world's changed dramatically since then. And it's across all three universities, we're asking for a fair pay rise, but they keep telling us they have no money. But you know, and this is the other thing that they don't factor in. We deal with international students, for example, who have physical illnesses. And that's, you know, there's an element of teacher PTSD out of that, because we're seeing them struggle. We've had students have to go back to the country because they can't afford to live in Melbourne, and that falls on us. And we're you know, it's all that extra stuff outside. But yeah, I mean, we asked for a discussion, we got nothing. We went out on a stop work to rule, we got nothing. So it's that's the nature of this. You've got no choice, you have to go on strike. If they're not going to listen, then we have, as we've made a common decision, that we have to go out. And it's not something we take lightly. We don't want to interrupt student learning, we don't want to interrupt classes, but in the bigger picture, it's going to benefit who the key stakeholders in this institution are the students.
You know, it's pretty amazing how much personal effort and how much money a person puts into building their academic credentials to be able to teach at a university. And I mean, I've been following this for quite a while, and it seems to me that it's like they're creating a white-collar sweatshop.
Yeah, look, I can speak from my experiences as a PhD student that they're on, they asked me the other day, there's people from China, there's people from Korea, there's people from all over the world, and they're on scholarships of $31,000. Now, if you said to anybody else that you're getting paid $31,000 a year and live in Melbourne, people look at you like you were crazy. And if you work out the sums, it's less than minimum wage. And like you said, that I can speak for myself, that getting towards a PhD level, it's 3 years. Some of them are doing it part-time, it's 6 years. it's a good 10 years of learning, and it's very odd that you should be, your job opportunities for most of them to get tutoring work. And then people go, oh, but you're getting $150 an hour, but that's only 2 hours a week for 12 weeks at a time, and then you don't have work outside of that.
And then there's corrections.
And then, exactly right. So, again, it's you, 15, some of this on the signs there, 15 minutes a student is not long enough to mark a 2,000 word essay. So they're not getting the proper feedback that they need. But, and you know, all the PhD students I work with, every single one of them is looking for a job somewhere else.
Well, you know, the other thing that's interesting to me, having actually worked in a private college, is that these institutions rely on the professional standing of the people who teach here for their credentials, but you actually have no control over the situation.
That's right, correct. So, just hearing a very loud confrontation between staff members and security. But this is the thing, this is what draws the students in, is the quality of the staff and the people that are here. And, you know, you say a reputation of, I'm in media and communications, for example, and we are one of the best journalism universities, so you need to have the best people to attract the students to that, to maintain that reputation. But if you're not paying people a fair wage, they're going to look elsewhere. And so it just seems to me a very odd way of doing things, that take care of your staff and everything takes care of itself.
So this is a full day strike. What's happening in your, what are you aware of now?
I'm not 100% sure what's going to be the next course of action. If RMIT come to the bargaining table, then much like what just happened in New South Wales, the teachers went on strike because the government up there promised them 10% and then reneged on it and went back to what the previous Liberal government had said under their wage cap. So, look, if RMIT come to the table and want to bargain, and then we'll vote on what they offer. If they don't, then I imagine that strike action will become longer. And I'm not sure where Melbourne University or Monash are sitting at, but, you know, it's the fact that the three biggest universities in Melbourne, and it's, as I said, it's not something the academics are that serious about it to shut down. It's just got to that point where they don't want to talk about it, so we've got no choice. But if they do come to the table, then see what they offer and see what we vote on. But if they don't, I imagine it'll be rolling strike action across all three universities.
You know, it's funny because a while ago they had in their EBA that they wanted you guys to smile a lot or smile more, which I thought was quite hilarious.
I hadn't heard that one.
I mean, the thought that they could actually go that far, you know.
Well, that to me also indicates a little bit of disconnect of what we do. That if that's what they're worried about, that's not. I mean, maybe some students complained about it or something at one point, but I think what it more came down to is the teaching hours. You know, as I said, if I come from a school teaching background, if I wanted to be a school teacher, I'd go and do it. But I don't. I want to be an academic and use my expertise in that field. So they wanted to make extra teaching time. It's also more about the fact that there's people here that do the same job and sit in the same office but get paid differently. You know, so it's just, if you say that to people, they go, that's just unfair. Exactly right. So I know it's a big institution, and I know that things, you know, don't run always smoothly, but it seems absurd that you have the same people getting paid the same, different wages for the same job. And academics are here to research. That's what drives, you know, innovation. But if you have them teaching all the time, and you know, tutorial sizes. I've got tutorials that are up to 35 students now. School teaching background, that same situation's happening, 30 students in a class. And it just means that, again, back to the key stakeholders being the students, we can't give them the time they deserve. They're not getting that individual attention. And, you know, smiling is fine, but if you're exhausted, it's hard to just want to smile.
Also, fees are really high.
Well, that's right, and especially in media and comms, for example, because previous governments have put up, you know, the cost to that 10,000 mark. So it is very high, and students expect you know, bang for their buck, basically. And if people are exhausted, then they can't, they're not getting that bang for their buck.